For this week's Food Friday, WOOC correspondent Tatiana Marini visited the Hill at Musa, a charming beer garden located just east of downtown Troy. I had the pleasure of researching this place with Tatiana and can very much recommend the ambiance as well as the food and the beer. Let's hear what Tatiana learned when she met the owner.
I am here with Adam Shipganowski, owner of The Hill at Musa. Adam, can you tell me about The Hill at Musa and why you started this business?
Yeah, so it's basically a European beer and wine garden and, you know, full kitchen and everything. My family started a restaurant called Musa, Polish restaurant, about 10 years ago. And that's where we came up with the whole idea of calling it The Hill at Musa, because it really is an additional space behind the restaurant, up a little hill, with kind of a fully enclosed stone patio with a lot of various elements, with, like, you know, water elements, a waterfall, tons of plants, flowers, you know, seasonal depending on the time of year, flame torches for heating and awesome light and candles and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's expansion of my family's restaurant and a really, really just fun kind of open air space that we have open all year round and do a lot of creative things to make it fun in the winter and summer, spring, summer, all that stuff. So
I think the ambience of this place is part of why people really like it. But I think another reason is because of maybe the food. Can you tell me about the cooking style of The Hill at Musa?
Yeah. So that's been a continuous learning process and exploration. And we knew we had a lot of guests coming that had been familiar with Musa and my family's restaurant, and that's predominantly Central European style foods and ingredients and preparation techniques. And we've really tried to do the same thing in terms of exploring how you know, smoked meats and smoked cheeses, how they fit into the menu, and exploring how really basic ingredients like potatoes and dill and sour cream, how do we put that into everything? And at the same time, how do we make it that you can eat the food comfortably with your friends, walk around and mingle, and not feel that you need the full fork, knife, table service situation, just a little more comfortable, open air, relaxed atmosphere. And yeah, we've come up with all sorts of fun little things. Like, we put a very big twist on the burger with a few ingredients in the middle. We call it the Euro Burger. So it's a traditional home-style patty that turned into a burger and evolved from there. And we think people love it. We hope people love it. And then, you know, we do these things called, we call them disco balls, just playfully, because we like to play disco music once in a while. We don't really play it that often at The Hill, but it was a tribute to that. And it's just basically we took potato pancakes, which everybody loves down at the restaurant, but, you know, they're a little tough to eat up in a beer garden. So we turned them into balls and created this great sauce with pickles and dill. And, so, you know, we just really explore the Central European kitchen and the palate that they have, and we try to make it easy and accessible, and fun and quirky in a way, you know, so.
I think that's extremely innovative, you know, taking this supper formal way of eating and trying to make it more lively and, you know, fit the beer garden atmosphere here. What is your favorite thing on the menu?
Well, I think, you know, what do I eat most often? It's probably the Euro Burger, and that's what I described. It was based on a patty that my mom and my grandmother would always make at home when they were just kind of casually cooking something for us, and we took that and just kind of blew it up into the burger. And I think probably what I also mentioned before, the disco balls. I love to grab those. The meat and cheeses, I don't typically, because I'm always busy, I'm not really kind of getting a chance to enjoy myself as often. The meat and cheese platter I love as well. I'll usually have a little bit of that, but I haven't gotten a chance to personally sit down and eat a whole one anytime recently. But yeah, I'd say my answer is definitely the Euro Burger. So,
is that maybe the most ordered thing on the menu? Do people typically order something else?
It's one of them. Honestly, people really order a lot of pretzels and the Euro Burger and our tacos. Our tacos are awesome because we smoke everything right here on premises. We have a big smoker. We do about 60 pounds of pork shoulder a week and, you know, smoke it for like 22 hours, pull it, and it comes out really nice. And then, you know, with that, we also kind of put a Central European kick on it where we take miseria, which is a really traditional Polish side dish, which is basically fresh cucumbers, dill, sour cream, salt, some garlic. And we just make a really, really kind of hairline thin shaved cucumber salad out of that and put that on top of our smoked pork, and a little bit of emulsified garlic oil that kind of takes it to the next level and gives a little kick with some chili in it. The kick is for emphasis right there. And people love that too. That's really popular. But yeah, I think our three most popular things are definitely the Euro burger, the tacos, and the pretzels. And recently we added this thing called the chicken schnitzel. And it's two chicken schnitzel patties, which kind of is a little unique thing about it. Get a little bit more crisp to chicken ratio, which I think some people like. And that's been a big hit lately. Things go in waves, and we change our menu probably every 3 to 4 months. We keep the favorites, and things that maybe are not appropriate for the season, we'll change it up or we'll add more hearty dishes in the fall and winter. So, yeah.
Speaking of switching seasons, what about the alcohol and the beer selection? What do you guys have now that maybe you're transitioning out of, and what do you plan to bring in?
Yeah, so we actually do the most work we do as far as beer and wine with respect to seasons is the wine menu. So we definitely work, a couple months ahead of the season change to start finding menus that are going to fit the flavors of that season, as far as the body of the wine goes, or just the nature of it, the elements of it. Something a little bit, more hearty and bold in the winter, a little bit more robust and herby in the fall. And just lighter, sweeter, fresher in the spring and summer. We try to serve our wines at slightly different temperatures throughout the year as well. So, we'll do a little bit, colder than most places will typically serve it, 50 degrees in the summer, because you're hanging out and it's going to warm up while you're drinking it out in the sun outside. So seasonally we work a lot on the wine menu, because it's very evident there. With respect to our beers, we try to kind of keep, basically hit every nail with the beer flavors that you can possibly have all year. And we'll change those up if maybe a certain beer that we're carrying isn't available anymore, or we want to just bring something new in. And we're about to do some changes to our beer list over the next couple months, do some exploration. We're working on getting a couple more European beers that we're currently struggling to find the distributors for, which is it's a challenge with our particular market being a Central European foods and beers and wines. And we also want to bring in some Central European wines, like Moravian wines from Czech Republic, that are still kind of tough to find and don't really have a lot of, appreciation out there in the market. And some of them that do are really natty, or they have like a very intense kind of unique flavor on purpose. And a lot of our guests maybe don't want that. So we're trying to find the more traditional style wines from those regions. So that's definitely a continuous effort that myself and the whole team here have going on, and we have a little chat amongst the team going on all the time about how to do that, how to cater to the seasons, and how to make sure people are here having a great time and getting great food and great wine. So
speaking of wine, I have to ask, I know last year you guys did a really fun grape stomp. Are you planning to do that again this year?
Yes. Yeah. Last year we had 600 pounds of grapes here in three different stomping bins. This year we're doing 800 pounds in one stomping bin. So it's closer to the I Love Lucy skit that everybody has probably seen at some point. It's a lot of fun. This year we're going to have Sangiovese as the grape varietal. And it's actually going to be stomped by people that show up here. They're going to be able to either wear a pair of rubber boots, or they can just wash their feet and get in and start stomping it. And it will actually be turned into wine by a couple guys who live around here in the area in Troy. And they love producing wine. They're interested in maybe starting a winery in the area. So they're kind of getting off experiencing the process now. And 800 pounds, I think, I don't remember exactly. I think it's like 40 or 50 gallons that they're going to get out of it, which is a lot. Especially of one variety of grape. So they, with winemaking, it's, you don't get many opportunities to fix it. You got such a long cycle. It's 1 year. So even like the best winemakers maybe have only done it 30 times, right? So there's not a lot of room for opportunity for feedback and improvement, right? So we're doing it again. It's going to be Thursday, September 28th, 5 to 10, but we're open regular hours, 4 to 11 that day, and people just come by. And we're also doing speed tasting. So while it may not be good form to have a sip of every wine when you show up at a bar. On this day it is. And we have speed tasting our wine director, Jeff Keegan. He's going to be here pouring wines and kind of introducing everybody to our cross spectrum of wines. And like I said with beer earlier, we try to hit every nail on the head. So any possible kind of flavor you would want to have happen in your mouth with respect to wine for that season, we try to make it happen. And we have all these graphs that we think about, okay, where is this wine? Where is this wine? Where is this wine? And how do they complement each other? And we try to not have our wines compete with each other just so we can get good wines at a good price to people and have a good variety. As much of a variety as needed. We don't want an excessive variety, so.
That sounds really, really exciting. Another thing I wanted to ask about is, you talk about how you're open all year round, but it's an outdoor, for the most part, bar. And so how do you, I guess, keep it warm? And what kind of things do you guys do during the colder season?
Yeah, so that is actually a lot of fun. About almost two-thirds of our space are outside. We still have a very large space inside. But because of that, people have naturally think, oh, well, they're not going to be open in the winter. But we really put a lot of effort into that. This year, we've got a special little segment we're going to be putting together called How to Winter on the Hill. And it's going to have a variety of things that we do, such as making the seating easier and warmer, special items on our menu, special events. But one thing that we do, for example, in the winter to make people have a lot of fun here is we do a Christmas tree lighting. You know, just example, last year we had a 16-foot tall tree. You could barely see the evergreen on it. It was mostly just light and light bulbs because we covered it with so many strands. And it's pretty dramatic when we light it. And it's on like a 7-foot stage, so you know it just kind of towers over the audience. And we had a fake Santa fly in, and a cappella group, and stuff like that. And people love that. It's a really good. We're very proud of how it's a family atmosphere that just young adults, senior citizens, families, they all are welcome and can come here together. It's not segmented in terms of a certain age group. And dogs too. You know, people bring their dogs, so. That's cool. Going back to the winter, we have flame torch heaters out here. We create special drinks. Like we do this really awesome hot chocolate red wine, which actually is like a bold red wine with hot chocolate kind of emulsified right into it. And we serve it hot with whipped cream. And it might sound weird, but it's like crazy when you actually drink it. And, we did that as like one random thing and people started loving it. It kept coming back and wanted more of it. So we're like, all right, I guess this is what we're doing now. And I'm trying to think what else we do. We cater to skiers. We're not far from a lot of the southern Vermont ski areas and also upstate New York. And we have skier specials where they can come here and have a light appetizer and half off their first beer when they show up. With this ski pass from that day or even in their ski gear. And honestly, it's like great. I mean, I had that experience before I started the place where I would go skiing and then I'd want to have a couple beers, but I didn't want to drive home an hour and 15 minutes after having a couple beers. So it's great to just have a place closer home where your friends that maybe didn't go skiing can meet up with you. And it's okay if you're still wearing your ski gear. And, it's kind of a half hour process to get all that stuff taken off and put away. So we cater that crowd, and we're actually looking for a gondola. If anybody has a gondola out there, we're trying to find one that's in good condition. We want to restore it and make an awesome seating area for everybody to reinforce that. So, yeah, I mean, How to Winter on the Hill is a whole initiative that we're doing, which is just it's taking the idea of hanging out outside, which I think this upstate region really does appreciate. Just put your parka on, get some gloves, grab a beer. We have a special koozie that we wrap our glasses in. So we think about you ordering a beer and then going outside. That's like, we're like, secretly we turn around, we're like, give ourselves like a high five. We're like, yes, they did it. And they're having a great time and they're appreciating the winter. So.
That sounds really, really incredible. If people want to learn more about Moussa at the Hill or maybe take a look at your menu, is there a website they could go to or anything like that?
Yes. TheHillAtMoussa.com. A lot of people have trouble with that when I try to give them my email address, but it's TheHillAtMoussa.com.
Thanks, Adam. This is Food Friday.
That was Tatiana Marini with Adam Szymaganowski from The Hill at Moussa. You can check out The Hill for yourself at 379 Congress Street, just east of downtown Troy. Visit TheHillAtMoussa.com to learn more.